The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are all kinds of idols in the world. Not all of them are physical idols made out of stone, wood, or precious metals. Most of them actually dwell in the dark recesses, the little niches of our own hearts. This is kind of the central genius of Luther's biblical understanding of the First Commandment. The First Commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, not so much about those tangible material idols, but about whatever it is you trust in, that is your God. That's Luther's little formula there, and it works beautifully for understanding the First Commandment. What is one of the idols in the modern church today, in modern Christianity? Wouldn't we have to say that it is relevance? I mean, we have to define what relevance is, but it certainly would qualify as one of the, well, perhaps the idol that stands tallest in American Christianity today, the idol to which many pay their obedience or in which many put their trust, especially for the future of the church. How often have you heard it said that if the church doesn't change, that is, change to be more relevant, as measured by the culture, the church will die. We hear that from Rick Warren. We hear that from John Shelby Spong. Seems to be a consensus. The very existence of the church depends upon its being relevant, as defined by the culture, of course. Joining us to talk about the idol of relevance in the church, Pastor Larry Peters, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent blog post titled The Primacy of Relevance. Pastor Peters, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be there, Todd.
Now, you have written something, a pretty stark statement. I want you to explain it. You have said modern Christianity, with its pursuit of relevance, is not a different style of Christianity, but a completely different religion. What do you mean?
Well, the point is that we call it Christianity, but when we place ourselves at the center of everything that happens, sort of the unlikely position of not only being the person on the altar being worshipped, but also being the worshiper worshiping ourselves, we bear little resemblance to the faith that has gone before us, the faith that puts at its center the revelation that God has shown to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, a revelation designed to free us from exactly this captivity, this curved-in self that sees and judges everything through the lens of me and the me that is defined by the moment. What I feel, what I think, what I desire, all of these things have become the measure of what happens in worship, and the goal of this worship is self-affirmation, setting the person free to be all that they can be, so to speak.
So you're saying that relevance really is just another name for self-absorption.
It's the practice of self-absorption. It is when we take this desire to be the center of all things, and we put it into work, so that unless I do it, it doesn't matter. Unless I find it meaningful, it has no meaning. Unless I affirm its truth, it has no truth. Unless I enjoy it, it has no service, no usefulness to me.
Okay. What has that done to the life of the church? Let's start where that life manifests itself on Sunday morning? What has bringing in the idol of relevance into Sunday morning, what has it done to Sunday morning?
I think one of the things that it's done is it's shifted everything away from the objective, and it has made it subjective. No longer are we concerned about encountering the word that endures forever, but we are rather enamored with the word of the moment. You know, we're consumed with things that are new. A part of relevance is new, you know, being constantly refreshed, reshaped, reformed all the way along the way. Ecclesiastes reminds us that, you know, is there anything you can call new? If it is, it was, and it was in the ages before you in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. That's not a word we want to hear today. We are filled with the moment, and it is a constant pressure around it. It's certainly nothing new. It's not like something that is brand new has evolved. But we have been freed from all the constraints that once kept this focus from dominating who we are, from dominating what happens on Sunday morning, from dominating what is truth and what is falsehood. And now it has become the thing that has shaped everything in the church. You know, we look at it less in terms of what is good and right and true and more in terms of how do people feel about it. You know, it's sort of like Facebook, you know. How are you feeling today? It's the question that everyone asks when you pick up your cell phone and call somebody. What are you doing and how do you feel? Well, when we come to worship, it's pretty hard then for us to let go of that same dominance of feeling and that same primacy of self and to turn our attention onto something that may not be quite so positive.
I want to come back to that in a second, but I'm kind of wondering how, I mean, as it's defined or seems to be defined in the church today, how is the appeal to relevance really any different than saying we need to give people what they want?
Well, we do need to give people what they want in one sense, but their want has to be shaped by the preaching of the law. Their want has to be defined by the honest appraisal of what is wrong. Instead of affirming the comfortable me, where we hide negatives, where we don't use words like sinners, where we don't talk about self-control, where we affirm self no matter how easy or shallow that might be, instead of doing that, we need to help people understand what is wrong, what is their need. And we need to do that in such a way where we displace from the altar of our worship ourselves and we put God back there. Because the whole point of God's disclosure to us is to rescue us from the captivity of ourselves, from the captivity of the moment where truth is one person wide and one person tall, where everything is defined by the individual. The other part of it is that we need to direct people's attention onto something that is stronger and something that is able to answer the wounds and the weakness of our mortal souls and our mortal flesh and blood and address them with the healing and the remedy that will make us whole.
In the same vein, how is what, you know, the call for relevance in the church today, does it differ in any way from saying we need to get, let's talk about that man off the street, we need to give that guy something that he finds completely comfortable and familiar?
Well, it's, in one sense, what we're saying is that there is no objective truth. And so that person is the one who defines what is true for him. Now, in a sense, it's an impossibility. You know, the modern church has to constantly change because people change their preferences and desires all the time. It is an impossibility to stand anywhere, you know, for very long in the modern church because the person is always changing. Well, the church stands on something that is more enduring. It stands upon the word that endures forever. It stands upon the cross, and it speaks this to us not to hold us down or not to deprive us, say, of self-esteem or any of those other special words we love to talk about today. It is there to direct us to that which is true self-esteem, the true revelation of self that comes under the stern gaze of the law and under the sweet and blessed consolation of the gospel.
You say that the creed of this church now bowing down to relevance is, and I like the way you put it, that the creed is, God would not want me to, and then you say, just fill in the blank. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, we hear that all the time, don't we? You know, I'm sure every pastor has heard somebody who said, well, you know, I don't seem to be getting anything out of church anymore, and I don't think God would want me to keep going and come away empty-handed. You know, I don't think God would want me to be unhappy. So therefore, you know, I need to find a church that will affirm my desires, that will you know, help me be the me I want to be. You fill in the blank. Because certainly, you know, God would not want me to see myself as I really am, as a sinner, you know, under all of his condemnation and wrath, with punishment and with eternity hanging in the balance. You know, God would not want to diminish my sense of self by telling me that I am without hope, standing on my own merits and on my own good works. That God would not want me to worship in a way that I didn't find meaningful or uplifting. You know, those code words that we use that really come back to the sense of relevance. You know, it's what I want to do, it's what I want to hear, it's what I want to be in the moment.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc., in conversation with Pastor Larry Peters, kind of coming back around to something I heard him hint at earlier. You know, ultimately, the idol of relevance is tied to the tyranny of the now. I think that's what Oz Guinness has called it, the tyranny of the now. You can never go back. You can never look too far ahead. You always have to be, what, pertaining to the matter at hand, the immediate matter at hand. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's authored a recent blog post titled "The Primacy of Relevance." Stay tuned.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August.
I take you just the way you are. Don't go trying some new fashion.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about the idol of relevance in the church. Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. Here's what Karen in Monroe, Michigan recently posted about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, the Lutheran Bible Companion. Karen says, thanks for the excellent August book recommendation. This two-volume Bible Companion is helpful in looking at the historical setting of each book, as well as countering specific attacks on God's Word that have been made by modern critics. She's talking about the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, Lutheran Bible Companion. It's two volumes. It's full of charts, maps, diagrams, everything to help you understand the context, both historical and theological, of every book of the Bible. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, Lutheran Bible Companion, Volumes 1 and 2, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Peters, you hinted at this before the break, but I'm curious, what specifically becomes of the preaching of sin if relevance runs the show on Sunday morning?
Well, the first thing is that we talk about sin, but we don't talk about being sinners. I mean, we're not stupid. We know we screw up. We have a conscience, you know, we feel that tinge of regret when things don't go like we want them to do, but we're not prepared to call ourselves sinners. So we're people who occasionally screw up, but it's only, you know, a momentary lapse in judgment. It's certainly not a defect on our nature. And so often, ultimately, the sin that we define as the greatest sin of all is the sin of not being true to self, the sin of not being honest with our desires, not living up to a, you know, and being courageous enough to go after what we want. Now, these are not the sins that are the ones we hear about in the commandments. These are the sins of not quite being enough of what we think we ought to be. Those kinds of sins are easy to confess, but they don't. That confession doesn't do anything, and there isn't much God can do about it. You know, it's sort of like we go to church to have our consciences salved a bit. You know, we go to church to be entertained. We go to church to be given some how-tos, some self-improvement help along the way, and then we go back home hoping that we've gotten something that's useful along the way or meaningful, you know, to us along the way. And in a sense, the whole power of God is derailed, both the law and the gospel, by such an approach.
So we're sent home, essentially told either explicitly or implicitly, you know, here, just remind you, you know, what this is supposed to look like. Do your best.
Do your best. You can do it. You can be the person you want to be. You know, yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, you did this wrong, but, you know, now we've walked through, we've seen the process, we've seen the light, we've put the past behind us, and now we're ready for the moment. And that's really what it is. It's not even a readiness for the future. We're looking for immediacy, you know. So in a sense, in the preaching, it's the how-to over the what. So, it's the means of communication over the message that is communicated. It's the confusion of the goal with basically self-expression or participation. And so the presentation becomes more important than that which is presented.
What are your thoughts on, and this is an observation, I know that, I think it's got to be Oz Guinness, although I don't think he coined the phrase, talks about relevance a lot and says, look, it puts us under the tyranny of the now, right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow. And what he's talking about there, I think, is that it's the, in order to be relevant, we have to be somehow speaking to the immediate matter at hand, whatever that may be. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Peters?
Well, I think of the movie The Devil Wore Prada, and there's a scene in there where she comes in, the boss comes in, the devil, who says, I'm going to want a steak for lunch. And so the office girl runs, you know, she goes, she gets the steak, she runs like crazy, she gets it back to the office, she sets it on the desk, and she puts, you know, the parsley on it, gets it all ready to go. She steps back thinking she's done something. The boss walks in, she looks at the steak, and she goes, well, I don't want that now. I mean, that's exactly what happens to us all the time. You know, we think we want something in the moment, and the moment comes, and we go, well, I don't want that now. The tyranny of now is ultimately the tyranny of never being fully satisfied. You know, when we live in the moment, things change, and we are captive to those changes to the point where we are always in search. It's sort of like the ship that is always in sail, always on the ocean, and never finds a port. And you know, there's only so long that we as people can last under that kind of tyranny. We will either be burned out, or else we'll go looking for something that offers us something that is more real, something that is more real than the moment, something that is more real than our feelings for that moment.
Two quick final questions. If the church ties itself to the wandering star of relevance, does that mean the church's message is bound to continue to change with the times? About 30 seconds here.
Well, absolutely. You know, once we've decided that in order for us to be successful, we have to be relevant, or people have to find what we say and what we do meaningful and appropriate, you know, pertinent to what their thoughts and feelings and desires are in the moment, you know, we don't have any solid foundation anymore. We are constantly on the move. We are always looking for that which is a little bit ahead of where the people are in the moment.
And finally, with only 30 seconds, how does the church's its creeds, its liturgy, its history, its scripture, its confession remedy all the ills of the idol of relevance? About 30 seconds.
Well, there are a couple of things. One is there has to be a hermeneutic of continuity. That's the way Pope Benedict put it. I love that phrase. In other words, we have to be connected to our past. That means that we are rooted and planted on the soil of what God has done in and among his people in the word that endures forever. Second thing is, it means that the agenda in worship and the agenda in preaching has to be that searing glare of the law that lays bare who we are and our sins, and the healing balm of the gospel of Christ crucified and risen, so that we who are sinners have a remedy for our sin. We have forgiveness. We have the presence and power of God working in his spirit in our daily lives, and we have a future, an outcome that is certain for us because it is signed, sealed, and delivered in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not in what we think or what we believe in the moment.
Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, author of a recent blog post titled The Primacy of Relevance. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Larry, great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. with our regular guest, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We'll be in our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We spent a lot of time in Isaiah. Now we're going to go to the other great prophet of the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 15, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on the other side of the break. And then Ryan Anderson joins us from the Heritage Foundation. He's co-authored this great book called What is Marriage, Man and Woman, a Defense? And he's written something recently for the Daily Signal, 7 Reasons Why the Current Marriage Debate is Nothing Like the Debate on Interracial Marriage. We'll talk about how same-sex marriage and interracial marriage are simply not the same issue with Ryan Anderson in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk to you again in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.